Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to DSM's conference call on the results of the first 9 months of 2017. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To register for questions, you may dial star 1 at any time. If any participant has difficulty in hearing the conference, please press 00 on your push-button phone. Now I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Huizing. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good morning to you all, and welcome to this conference call on our results for the first 9 months of 2017 that we published earlier this morning. I'm sitting here with Mrs. Geraldine Matchett, Chief Financial Officer and member of the DSM Managing Board. She will elaborate on the results and after that answer your questions. We have 45 minutes scheduled for this call. As a reminder, today's presentation may contain forward-looking statements. In that regard, I would like to direct you to the disclaimers about forward-looking statements as published in the press release. With these formalities being done, I will hand over to Geraldine. Geraldine, please go ahead.
Thank you, Dave. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this call on DSM's results for the first 9 months of 2017. As our Investor Day was not long ago, actually on the 25th of September, and many of you took the time to join us either in person or to dial in for the presentation, for which I thank you very much once again. I think today's call will probably be rather quick as we discussed most of the topics during the event and gave lots of insights on our growth path as well as how it relates to our underlying markets. Maybe for those of you who were not able to join us on that day, please note that the presentations are still available on our website. Today is therefore the financial update on the back of our Q3 results and with actually very few surprises. I will start with a few comments on the key slides of our investor presentation that we published this morning together with our press release, and then we will open the line for the Q&A session. Let me start first with the financial highlights on page 2. As highlighted on this page, we're pleased to report that we continued our very good momentum with yet another strong quarter. All our businesses delivered above market growth in Q3, resulting in an 8% organic growth, of which 7% volume growth. Our adjusted EBITDA increased 15% versus the same period last year, driven both by our nutrition and our materials businesses. Our return on capital employed was up 170 basis points and closed at 12.3%, while our adjusted profit increased 29% to 504 million. And including the gain on disposal relating to our Patheon shares of 1,250 million, you can see that our total net profit ended at 1.6 billion year to date. Looking forward, and in line with the communications during our Investor Day, these results feed into our confidence regarding our unchanged outlook for 2017. As stated in the press release, we continue to expect full year 2017 results to be above the original targets of our strategy, with an EBITDA growth for the year slightly up from high single digit to double digit, and a ROCE growth of more than 100 basis points, despite the slightly less favorable currency developments. Now, moving to our nutrition business, let's go to page 9. As you can see here, nutrition continued to deliver a strong performance, with organic growth rates in all of the businesses outpacing their respective markets. Overall, the organic growth reached 7% for the first 9 months of the year, mainly driven by volumes up 6%. The adjusted EBITDA increased 13% for the first 9 months compared to the same period last year, supported, of course, by the strong volume growth, as well as the efficiency and cost improvement programs. Currencies and the price mix effect made a small contribution. In terms of the EBITDA margin, nutrition year-to-date reached 18.9% versus 18% in the same period last year, well within the expected range of 18 to 20%. And finally, the ROCE showed a significant step up to 14.1% versus 12.1% in the same period last year. More specifically, in Q3, our organic growth remained high at 8%, but overall sales were slightly offset by a negative foreign exchange effect of 3%. The EBITDA growth in the quarter was 12% with continued solid margins at 18.8%. Now, for some more specific comments on animal and human nutrition, let's move first to page 10. In the first 9 months of the year, animal nutrition delivered 8% organic growth, fully driven by volumes and significantly outperforming the market. This growth was driven by our ability to address a wide range of species, as well as our broad geographical presence and our strong forward integrated premix position. Also, market conditions were favorable pretty much across the board. Regarding Latin America specifically, while domestic demand remained impacted by weak economic conditions in Brazil, and in Q2, this weakness was exacerbated by the meat scandal that affected beef exports. Recently, we have seen a strong recovery in those exports. Overall prices were flat, with higher prices for some vitamins in the first half of the year being offset by lower comparable prices in Q3 as anticipated. For Q3, more specifically, the organic growth was exceptionally strong at 10%. This was driven by a number of factors, including the rebound in the meat exports from Brazil, easier comparative figures, as last year volumes were soft in the second half, whereas pricing was relatively strong, if you recall. And finally, all regions performed very well, with some geographies benefiting from favorable timing of orders. Now, one should not see 10% organic growth as the new normal. This is significantly above the midterm 5% above market growth rate we indicated for this business in our investor event or at our investor event in September. Now, moving to human nutrition, let's go to page 11. Year to date, human nutrition businesses maintained their strong momentum. In food and beverage, we continued to successfully address the markets through tailored premixes, while in dietary supplements, sales excellence programs, as well as the introduction of new product solutions, resulted in above-market growth in both multivitamins and fish oil-based omega-3s. Our iHealth business continued its double-digit growth path, while early life nutrition remained a strong performer as well. This all resulted in a 6% volume growth for the first 9 months, despite softness in some end markets that even became actually a bit more pronounced in Q3. Prices were stable over the 9 months, with higher prices from advanced formulation and premixes compensating the somewhat lower contractual prices in early life nutrition. Now, looking more specifically at Q3, we saw solid volume growth, with very much in line with the last few quarters since 2015. Top-line positive momentum was maintained in all segments despite softness in some end markets. Positive pricing in the quarter came from advanced formulation and food premix, while also reflecting favorable mix effects. This brings us to materials on page 13. In all of our materials businesses, strong growth in specialties was the main driver behind the 13% organic growth in the first 9 months, well ahead of our initial strategic targets. All businesses contributed to the strong 8% volume growth, while the 5% price effect reflected mainly the increase in input costs. The 9 months adjusted EBITDA increased by 12% compared to the same period last year, driven by the higher volumes as well as the group-wide cost-saving and efficiency improvement programs. Looking at Q3 specifically, sales were up 14% organically with a 9% volume growth. All three businesses contributed to this continued growth in the quarter. Q3 adjusted EBITDA was up 8%, resulted in an adjusted EBITDA margin of 18.1% in Q3. despite higher raw material costs and the fact that the resins business was confronted with various disruptions in the supply of key intermediates, amongst others, caused by the hurricanes in the U.S. This robust performance demonstrates the improvements achieved in the quality of returns from our materials businesses over the recent years. Sadly, however, we had to report a tragic accident at our resins Augusta plant in the United States on September 27th, where a contractor lost his life. This, once again, stresses that all of our activities, in all of them, it is our utmost responsibility to ensure safety and health for all our employees and our contractors worldwide. Now, let's move to page 18 for some final comments on cash generation. As you can see in this table, our cash flow from operating activities amounted to $619 million for the first 9 months of the year. Slightly below the comparative period in 2016 due to the higher absolute working capital in line with, of course, the higher sales. Looking at the ratios, however, the total working capital as a percentage of sales remained stable at 19.1%, with a solid improvement in the operating working capital to sales ratio that improved by 170 basis points compared to the same period last year, that was offset in the quarter by a decrease in non-operating liabilities. Capital expenditure in the first 9 months reached $384 million, ahead of last year, but in line with expectation. And finally, our net debt closed at $703 million, compared to over $2 billion at the in September 2016. This decrease is mainly due to the proceeds from the sales of our Patheon shares recorded in Q3 for a total of €1,477 million, with an additional €58 million of hedge-related income expected in Q4, which brings the total to just over €1.5 billion. And with this, we will open the floor for questions. Operator?
Lines are now open for questions. To ask a question, press star 1. First question, Stephanie Butwell, Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Go ahead, please. Mr. Reudeker, your line is open.
Okay, thanks a lot for taking my questions. First, on the cash flow, you mentioned the increase in non-operating liabilities impacting the net working capital. Otherwise, it would have been better. Can you explain the background for that? Second question is on the animal nutrition business, especially on your comments on the timing of orders. Do you want to convey that there were some orders shifted from Q4 to Q3 already? And the final question is on an update on your dietary supplements business in the U.S., if you can do. Thanks.
Yes, sure, absolutely. So maybe firstly, with reference to the cash generation, indeed what we saw is that we've got, you know, and we said we would do that, a good control on our operating working capital. Now in the quarter, our non-operating liabilities decreased a bit. These tend to be items such as the investment creditors, which of course can move over time. And we also have liquidity positions with affiliates that are shown as a liability in our books. So these are the kind of things. And broadly, it's a reduction in those liabilities of a bit more than $100 million. So that's what I'm referring to. Now, of course, operationally, what we're really driving is the OWC, and that is the constant area of focus within the organization. So that is the clarification on your first point. Now, coming to animal nutrition, here, as you can see, in the quarter, we had a volume growth of 14%, which is, of course, on the very high side, and we would not recommend that this is taken as a new benchmark for the business. Now, it's a combination of many factors. As I mentioned, we do see that, you know, previous quarters we had Latin America that was a bit slowing us down. If you remember, in Q2, we flagged it specifically as having a 3% impact on the growth in the quarter. Now, that has come back quite strongly, particularly in September. And what we are also seeing is, given that this big volume, that it could be to do with cutoff and timing of orders. Now, it's very difficult to put a firm number on that, but given the high volume development, we believe there's some element of timing of orders as well. So it's one of the reasons behind this very strong growth that you see in Q3. And then your third question was about dietary supplements. And here what we're seeing in human nutrition is that once again this quarter we are seeing growth in pretty much all of the businesses within our human nutrition portfolio, which is great because in the past we tended to have a bit of an offsetting. Now, the stronger growth, if any, was probably actually the early life nutrition business that grew particularly strongly, but our dietary supplements business continued to perform well, even though the underlying market has not particularly accelerated, but our performance with our products has been great. And amongst others, remember, in there we have our eye health business, our B2C business, which is continuing to grow double digits, both in the U.S. but also overseas now in Europe and going into China.
Thank you.
Next question, Paul Watts, Morgan Stanley. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi there. Morning, Geraldine. Morning, Dave. Thanks for taking the two questions. My first question relates to the animal nutrition again. Sorry for that. Can you just talk a little bit about the pricing dynamic in that business, Geraldine? Obviously, it was a bit weaker in Q3. Does that accelerate in Q4, or are we sort of there or thereabouts now? And in terms of the volumes, just to be clear, it's still likely to be positive, right, in the fourth quarter. So, you know, the underlying volume growth is still pretty decent. And then my second question was really about some of the comments I've, the headlines I've seen on the JVs. You know, first one on the CapPro JV, exiting at the right valuation. I wondered if you could sort of expand on that. And then on the Sinochem JV, broadening the exit options via more scale, does that mean adding capacity or how should I interpret that? Thanks very much.
Yeah, good morning. Sure. So and animal nutrition in terms of growth, let me be clear, we're not seeing any big changes in Q4, at least so far, in the business dynamics. So we're not flagging a big issue. Remember, from a structural point of view, we've indicated and always have that this is a business that structurally we can grow more around the 5%. Now, if you look back at the evolution of the growth Q1, Q2, Q3, there is an element of catch-up, of course, in the Q3. And there you've got the Latin America component kicking in. So I would not read any concerns relating to Q4 other than flagging that 14 is very high. Now, in terms of pricing, you know, this should come as no surprise. Remember last year, what we saw in the second half was an overall, you know, higher pricing environment that we flagged at the time. And we always knew that while the comps would be favorable in H1, they would be a bit more negative in H2. And this is really as expected, the way that it's developing. So you can expect that it's still a negative in Q4, but in line with what we would have expected to see. Now, in terms of CapPro, indeed, we in the call earlier today, someone pointed out that it has been a better quarter for Chemica Invest, which indeed it has. Now, in terms of the market dynamics, it's too early to say whether this is really turning the corner or whether it's more to do with the various disruptions in the supply chain, broadly speaking, and we want to see how that progresses. But the message was actually very much in line with what we've always said, which is that our intention is to exit and to exit as well as we possibly can. So we will continue to work with CVC and make sure that these businesses keep on developing in the right direction before we look at the monetization moment. So really nothing much more there than just it was a comment on the improved CapPro environment in the quarter. And when it comes to DSM Sinochem, so a DSP, our anti-infective and associate or joint venture based in Singapore, and this is the smaller of the three, as you know, and clearly the scale can make it a little harder, for instance, to do an IPO. So when I was saying in terms of options, it was about if we are able to continue to grow the business, that gives us a bit more optionality, and therefore the time that we're, you know, that we continue to invest in the business and grow it can only help for the monetization. But I was not here flagging anything specific either.
That's really helpful, Geraldine. Thanks a lot.
Next question, Laura Lopez, Baader Bank. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for taking my questions. So first, in food specialties, you reported some capacity constraints in enzymes. Was this because of scheduled maintenance works, or what's the issue here? And maybe not long ago, Evonik launched a new high-concentrated omega-3 product for nutritional supplements. After your omega-3 business has been developing so well over the last quarters, do you maybe expect tougher competition and maybe pricing pressure again on this business? And last but not least, in September, you announced the acquisition of Twilme. Sorry, I don't really know how to pronounce that name. So can you maybe give us some guidance on this business, like which CAGR did it have over the last years? And maybe if you assume similar if it's fair to assume similar margins as in your nutrition business?
Okay. In terms of capacity on enzymes, so this is something we have flagged now for a few quarters. So our enzyme business is growing very well in food specialties, and we were a bit the victim of our own success. The mix of enzymes and the formulations of them just meant that from our capacity, we're just sold out. So this is not about a particular event. Now, we've been doing quite a bit of work to expand the capacity and to do debottlenecking. We will continue to do that. And in some respects, it's a good thing, a good problem to have in the sense that it's not a demand or a relevance to the market. It's just our ability to meet that demand. So that's really what the capacity comment is about. Now, I'm afraid on your second question, I don't have the details at hand of other products entering the market in Omega. What I can say is that our C3 high concentrates product has been doing very well on the market, and to the earlier question in dietary supplements, we are seeing good growth despite the backdrop of what is remaining rather soft market conditions. So I'm afraid other than that, I cannot add any color. And as for the acquisitions, you're referring here to the acquisition of an animal nutrition business in the Netherlands. We're very pleased to now have them on board with us. They are completing, from a geographical point of view, strengthening our position in Europe in premixes. They're very nicely positioned on the market and add to our ability to serve not only the Netherlands, but also, you know, the neighboring countries. And we don't provide a detailed split of the financials behind it beyond what was in the press release, which was the turnover of about 70 million, if I'm not mistaken. So I would call it a bolt-on in line with our strategy to continue to expand our premix footprint in all the different geographies.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Welcome.
Next question, Mutlu Gundogan, ABN AMRO. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning, everyone. The first question is on the Innovation Center. Can you tell me what the positive one-off is that you mentioned there? And then secondly, it's about growth and outlook. Again, a very strong quarter with double-digit EBITDA growth. How long do you think you can continue at this pace? And then thirdly is on, it's a bit of a nitty-gritty question, apologies, is on the impairments that you've done. So obviously a very high book profit on Patheon, slightly offset by two impairments of a total of 100 million. Can you tell us what the reasoning is behind that and to which business they relate and what the current book value is? Thank you.
Yes, sorry, I'm afraid I missed your second question. Could you just repeat it and then I'll go through the three?
Yeah. Yeah, it's on the pace of the earnings growth. So it's the seventh consecutive quarter of double digits EBITDA growth. So how long do you think you can keep up this pace, Geraldine?
Okay, got it. So firstly, on the Innovation Center, indeed, I'm afraid it's a bit of an accounting entry that's a bit weird. We stopped a project, and as a result, we have a reversal or release of provisions related to that development project above the line, and actually the write-off of the related assets below the line. So it's noise, and it's a few millions, nothing big. Now we expect our Innovation Center to end the year a bit ahead of last year, so in line with what we've been saying throughout the year. And there we see good momentum actually within that in solar that's growing very well. And in biomedical, we have also very good growth, although we have this unwinding of a big contract in the background. So it doesn't relate directly into the numbers this year, but actually the business dynamics are doing well. Now, I relate this directly to your third question on the impairments. So it's the usual time of year, by the way, when impairment reviews are done. And what we have seen here is primarily relating to our POET second generation bioethanol project. Now, maybe a bit strangely, we're actually making very good progress. The pretreatment change, we redesigned the pretreatment, has worked very well. But as a result, we have to impair the old assets that were there for that. And we also made some pretty good breakthroughs in terms of the efficiency of the enzymes and yeasts that we provide. And as a result, we're investing on an on-site manufacturing unit for the enzymes, which is all pointing us actually very much in the right direction, and we're seeing a positive momentum. Now, having said that, these delays, particularly around the pretreatment, have basically delayed a bit the cash flows of the business case. And when you do the discounted cash flows, that results in an impairment. But it does not affect our confidence in the fact that this is going in the right way. And of course, it's a long-term development, but it's heading in the right direction. So those are the main questions on innovations and the impairments. Now, regarding the EBITDA progress, indeed, we're at 15% EBITDA year-to-date growth, 13 on the quarter, and we're guiding for the full year to, from high single-digit into double-digit EBITDA growth. Now, it's not, at the time to comment about what comes next. We will provide you guidance on 2018 in due course with the full year results as we normally do. But we do see nice positive momentum in all of our businesses, and it's very satisfying to see that all the hard work that has been put in since 2018 in the costs, savings and efficiency programs is contributing nicely to this performance.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much, Evelyn.
Next question, Stephanie Bothwell, Bank of America. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you, and apologies for managing to hang off earlier. I hope I don't repeat any of the questions from my peers. So the first one was just going back to your comments on human nutrition. You flagged earlier, Geraldine, softness in a number of the end markets. Can you perhaps just give us a little bit more color around what happened and what deteriorated during the course of Q3? The second question is on the cash flow. On the $150 million related to the long-term hedges and intercompany loans that you expect to crystallize in the second half of this year, can you just confirm that that's still your expectation, that it will be around $150 million, and indeed that will largely be taken during the fourth quarter? Thanks.
Hi, Stephanie. Yeah, you confused us a little bit at the start, but I'm glad you're back on the line, so that's great. So maybe first I'll answer your second one, which is a detail, a specific question on the derivatives. In fact, given the developments in exchange rates, the derivative position has reduced actually quite a bit versus what we had earlier this year, and we are looking at a much lower outflow. Now we do have, we've paid back our bonds of $750 million in October. By the way, something not to forget that was pre-funded last year. And also in Q4 we will have some outflow on derivatives. in the order of about 45 million in Q4. And there I'm excluding anything to do with Patheon because that's all wrapped into the gain on the transaction. So the higher number was indeed at different exchange rates. Now it's about 45 million full year. So year to date, by the way, was 18. Huh? So wasn't too sure where your number came from, but year to date we're at 18 outflow and 45 for the full year. Now, in our H&H comments, we indeed made reference to something which you're all very familiar with, and that is that a lot of the large food companies have been releasing figures of softness in terms of growth. Now, at our Capital Markets Day, if you recall, we indicated that this is not new and that the overall food space is not a very high growth and that we are able, through our product positioning, our innovation, and our piece of that industry, to be able to grow off an underlying 2-3% market growth to be more in the 5%. So here we were just referencing to the fact that that dynamic is still there in terms of the softness, particularly referring here to the food and beverage space.
Okay, very clear. Thank you very much.
Next question, Andrew Stott, UBS. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Morning, Geraldine. Morning, Dave. Question on margins in nutrition. You're almost exactly in the middle of that range you've provided for a while now. So I guess my thought is, what needs to happen to get you to the top end of that range? I mean, considering how strong your organic growth was, Geraldine, is it pricing in animal, or is there something else? How many levers have you got? Thanks.
Okay. Morning, Andrew. Indeed, thank you for referencing that we are exactly pretty much in the middle of the range. So we said 18 to 20 is a pretty logical space for us to have with the current business mix. Now, in any period, and that's where you remember, if you remember last quarter, we said, we were in the 19 point somethings instead of 18 point something, and that was really driven by the relative growth, particularly human versus animal nutrition. I mean, at this stage, of course, we are combining growth and investing into the future. And as a result, this puts us in this space. As we indicated at the Capital Markets Day, given that we are ahead of our strategic targets for this three-year period, we are initiating our strategic review a little earlier than originally planned. And this is typically the kind of area that we will be looking into, which is, where does that go in the future? So I'm afraid it's a little early for me to provide more color, other than actually we're very happy where we are at present with this kind of mid of range position.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Next question, Nicola Tang, Evercore ISI. Go ahead.
Hi, Geraldine. Hi, Dave. Actually, a similar question to what Andrew asked on margins, but actually on the material side, where your sort of midterm guidance is for above 15%. But if I look at your performance since the start of last year, it's been well above that, which you initially put down to sort of raw material help boost from more materials. But I was wondering whether you could comment on what's going on now, given the fact that even in this quarter you mentioned you had some raw material headwinds, but you still saw pretty great margins on the material side. And then just following on from that, in terms of the volume growth in materials in Q3, is there anything or any specific end markets that you would call out as being particularly strong? I know you sort of said it was across the three divisions, but any specific end markets? And then finally, just a quick one on the Chemical Invest JV. Could you just remind us on the conditions of the 170 million euro earnout? How exactly, where are we on that, or how did that work again?
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure. So let's start with the materials, the margin on materials. Now, at the beginning of the plan, you're absolutely right, we were aiming for above 15%. And then here came all the low input cost environment. Now, at the start of this year, we had indicated that while in 2016 we felt we had probably a benefit of about 100 to 150 basis points advantage in margin due to the low input cost, that we were still aiming for somewhere between 16 and 17% as being our margin for this year. So what you're seeing with our year-to-date 17.3 is that we are at the upper end of that range. Now, what was very pleasing was in Q2, we clearly saw in most of our businesses our ability to pass through the pricing, in pricing, the higher input costs. And that really speaks to the transformation that has been going on in the portfolio of all three of our materials businesses, shifting more and more towards specialty dynamics as we grow. And actually the main growth engine is the specialty elements of all three businesses. So in short, we are pretty much where we would hope to be, a little bit better, because we were going for 16 to 17 and we're at 17.3. Now, when it comes to the volume, indeed, the 9% volume growth in the quarter is very high and was a combination of all businesses contributing. If I can give you a little bit of color, what we're seeing is that in engineering plastics, particularly in Europe, we're seeing a good dynamic. In automotive, in Asia, we're seeing automotive and E&E performing well. If anything, we're also seeing automotive US doing a bit better, but the main drivers being Europe and Asia. Resins has been growing very strongly, particularly on the back of substitution. We're seeing that the environmental regulation enforcements in China shifting coatings from solvent-based to waterborne is a big help. Also, our advanced materials there division is doing very well. And in Dyneema, there we have our life protection business doing very well, with particularly law enforcement demand being strong at present. Now, again, a little bit similar to animal nutrition, we would not recommend take 9% as the new normal. But in this quarter, it's a combination of all businesses doing strong. And sorry, to your third question on Chemica Invest, indeed there is an earnout formula. It's actually, to keep it simple, primarily driven by multiple on money at exit. So that is, and therefore, very difficult to anticipate.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Next question, Gunther Zechmann, Bernstein. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning. Can I just come back to the margins in the nutrition business? Can you give us maybe a rank order of the effects you see there? It's a bit surprising to see such a strong expansion, even though the animal nutrition business grew a lot faster than the human nutrition. So how much is operating leverage versus raw material costs versus efficiency improvements and mix improvement, if you could rank order those? And the second one on growth in the materials business, of course, it's tracking very, very well. And I think we all agree on the quarter's tones that we shouldn't extrapolate the growth that the business is doing right now. But what are your order books telling you into Q4, please?
Okay, well, to keep the sequence versus my previous answer, let me start with materials. So what we're seeing is overall good dynamics. By the way, all the businesses so far, the business conditions remain quite similar in Q4. Maybe the one thing I would flag is that, as you're, I'm sure, very familiar, there's been a lot of supply chain disruption, particularly for our resins business, be it from the hurricanes in the U.S., the enforcement of environmental legislation in China, some, you know, unscheduled shutdowns in Europe. Now, our commercial teams have been doing an extremely good job in Q3 in managing this, I would say, industry-wide, rather disrupted space, and we've been very successful at continuing to meet our client demands. Now, is there in that context maybe a bit of stocking going on? It is possible, although it's always very difficult to pinpoint. So our intention is to continue to manage this rather disruptive landscape as well as we can in Q4, but maybe there potentially Q4 will look a little different from Q3. But other than that, nothing really material to flag. Now, when it comes to the nutrition margins, I mean, we have It's a combination of all these drivers, and I don't think that on this call I can really run through what we covered at our Capital Markets Day in the 25th of September, really underlying all the individual elements, be it the drivers of the underlying industry, but then, of course, our own positioning within that. So I'm afraid it would be a bit too long an answer to even attempt to rank the drivers, but all that you mentioned were relevant.
Okay, that brings us almost to the end of the call. Let's go for one last question. So, operator, give us the last question.
Last question. Laurens Alexander from Jefferies. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Just two quick ones. First, the softness in the areas in human nutrition that you flagged. Is that? Can you characterize how much that's increasing and whether that's becoming a more material headwind for 2018? And secondly, just housekeeping, your current thoughts around tax rate and D&A, whether there'll be any significant changes going into 2018.
Sure. So in terms of the softness, that's really important to read as this was a comment relating to the overall dynamics within the food and beverage industry rather than our particular growth rate within that. Now, of course, midterm, it is one of the directions that we're going towards is to make sure that we have as broad a footprint and that we are forward integrated to continue to be able to grow faster than that underlying market growth rate. So that was really the comment there. Now, in terms of the tax rates, we are currently at 18%, and I would guide to the same range of 18 to 20. That we have been working on since the start of our strategic period. So no changes on the tax rate. And as for depreciation and amortization, I mean, a good proxy is about 120 to 125 million per quarter of depreciation and amortization, with occasionally, the odd additional amortization one-offs. But from a modeling point of view, that would be about right.
Thank you.
Okay, that concludes then the Q&A part. Geraldine, do you want to make some closing remarks?
Yeah, thanks, Dave. First of all, thank you very much to all of you for your time. We realize it's a very busy earnings day today. In short, we continue to see very positive momentum in 2017, with our Q3 being yet another very strong quarter for all of our businesses. And as a result, we confirm our outlook for 2017 that we had increased at the mid-year. We maintain that unchanged despite a somewhat less favorable Forex picture. And with that, I thank you and wish you a good day.
Thank you, Geraldine. This concludes our conference call for today. Thank you very much for your attention and your questions. If you have any further questions or need background information, you know where to find us. And with that, I give the call back to the operator.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the DSM conference call. You may now disconnect your line.